the ODAC podcast.
I think it just gave our kids a little bit of a taste, and it really helped them in the offseason say, hey, these are the things we've got to do to get better. So when we go play and it's win or go home, you've got to step up, you've got to show up and play your best softball.
In the past, you're always looking and you're saying, golly, you know, we're just lacking this, or we're just lacking that, and we're lacking a guard, we're lacking a post, and, you know, of taking us where we need to go. And this year, you know, it seems like we finally have what we need.
The partnership that we have with the ODAC is probably the thing I am most passionate about. I work on a number of different events and partnerships throughout the year, but as someone who is a former NCAA athlete, the opportunity to give student athletes today the chance to get involved and be impacted by Special Olympics the way that I have is something that's really near and dear to my heart.
Well, we were extremely excited to win the conference championship last weekend. It's something we've been really striving for since following Roanoke last season. And something that, really was our main goal all year long. We wanted to win back the ODAC, and then really nothing else compared to that goal all season.
The ODAC podcast is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance and Stellar One Bank. And here are your hosts, Brad Bankston and J.J. Nekola. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the ODAC podcast. This is J.J. Nekola, joined by Brad Bankston. Brad, we're at a unique position right now in the spring season, if you will, really the transition from the winter to the spring campaign. As basketball is still rolling, as we've got two teams still in the NCAA Division III men's basketball tournament. But spring sports are just about in full bloom here. Is the only one not in competition right now is women's golf, but that's set to get going next week with their first events of the spring season. So it's really the transition and moving into the spring sports as the weather hopefully continues to improve and we get to see less adjustment with our schedules here and get more regular play as we get into the conference portions of all the spring sports schedules.
Well, I think if we could get rid of the snow that's on the ground in the middle of March here or the beginning of March, we'd be better off, and I'm sure all the baseball and the softball coaches, as well as the lacrosse teams as well, are worried about that. So hopefully we'll be able to have Mother Nature kind of make the transition. As the time changes, we'll have the opportunity to have some warmer weather and some better spring stuff going on outside. But inside, as you mentioned, we had four teams on the men's side and two teams on the women's side advance to the NCAA Basketball Championships in the tournament first-round play last week. You know, again, very pleased that we were represented in the way that we were. Two teams didn't make it through the first round on the men's side in Hampton, Sydney, losing to Cabrini at home by two. And Randolph making a trip down to Emory University in Atlanta and not coming out with a victory. But you know what? I think a great accomplishment for their program up to this point to have made the NCAA tournament, to have advanced to two conference championships, losing the semifinal this year, and then make the NCAA tournament is quite a run for a team that's young, certainly still in its infancy.
Yeah, and one more thing to put around that, too, is we've got some news out of Randolph with Colton Hunt being named a finalist for the Jostens Trophy. So really some exciting things going on for their program, and head coach Clay Nunley has the Wildcats going in the right direction that you want them to.
Yeah, no doubt. And, certainly hoping that Colton makes his way through those ranks with the final national selection committee, which is the ballot is out right now. And we'll know in the next week or so as to who's going to win that award. And I would think that he's certainly going to be right at the top of the final balloting. But, you know, we have two teams that advanced on the men's side in Virginia Wesleyan defeating a Delaware Valley squad at Virginia Wesleyan. Of course, Randolph-Macon going on the road, playing at a neutral site in the Bronx in New York City and playing a Stevens squad that has beaten Williams College during the year. And, you know, they've advanced on to play WPI also, from what I understand, at a neutral site with a lot of functions going on in Worcester, Mass. They're going to be playing in Assumptions Gymnasium on Saturday evening. So a lot of changes, a lot of, kind of things up in the air, but Virginia Wesleyan's going to play at home. They're going to have a chance to play a crosstown rival in CNU, which they've played not too long ago and defeated CNU in the regular season. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens in that one.
Yeah, and on the women's side, we had two squads in there that you mentioned, Guilford College and Eastern Mennonite, part of a pod that was over at CNU. Unfortunately, both of those squads lost in their first round, but I think it just goes to show the conference continues to get better here. It's been a couple of years since the league had two squads in. This time they did, Guilford making its second straight trip after winning the ODAC title for the second straight season. So that was good to show for them. And then Eastern Mennonite maintaining its rank inside of the NCAA regional rankings to earn that at-large bid and have to go out there and play against a tough CNU squad or in a tough CNU pod and eventually come up against a tough CNU squad. It just it goes to show, though, that the conference is on the up and coming. I think we've talked about that a lot, that we've seen that, where the gap between the bottom team and the top team is starting to shrink, and we're seeing more competitive play within the league, and it's starting to show here on the national scale as well.
It is, and of course this year was the first year that our women's squads had an opportunity to play that unbalanced schedule, and as a result of that, they're going to have to schedule some competitive non-conference games. They're going to have to win those games as well as improve their strength of schedule numbers going into selections, and whether that was a factor or not for Eastern Mennonite's success of being able to have an at-large bid, I don't guess, we really don't know. But based on the experience that we've had with the men and playing that unbalanced schedule, there's probably a better chance moving forward for us to advance more than one or maybe even two teams on the women's side. So, you know, keep our fingers crossed, certainly for the two teams that are still in Virginia Wesleyan as well as Randolph-Macon on the men's side, that they will advance. And I guess we believe certainly that our league's one of the best Division III leagues in basketball, and hopefully their play will show that over the next couple of weeks.
Well, as we transition into spring sports, you mentioned schedule changes, and one of the spring sports has had a lot of schedule changes this year has been men's lacrosse, with two new squads coming into the league, not just one. Obviously, Shenandoah has been going through its introductory process throughout the entire year, but now we've got the spring sports coming in, and the men's lacrosse team has joined the league. Also has Bridgewater College, though, for the very first time as a new program up there for the Eagles. And they've started the season off well in their first campaign, getting victories in their first two games ever before falling to Ferrum here the last time by 14-6 count. But winning those first two games by a combined 35-10 is a good showing for the new program up there for the Eagles.
Yeah, Mick Grant's going to do a great job there, and they know that. They kind of did it, in my opinion, the right way. They let him recruit for a year. He didn't just instantly come in. But one of the things that they were very open about is that if they're going to play varsity, they're going to compete for the conference championship the first year that they're in. And, you know, programs in our league have the opportunity to be what we call developmental varsity and have the chance to not play a full conference schedule. But, you know, credit Bridgewater for entering right into the fray as soon as they could and playing a full conference schedule, which, as we know, based upon past success and the advances of our men's lacrosse programs, is a very formidable conference schedule to play. And they're going to start out pretty soon with two tough tests from the beginning in the middle of March with going to Hampton-Sydney and then playing Lynchburg at home for their ODAC home opener against the number three ranked team in the country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think fray was the perfect word, because fray, when you're talking about ODAC men's lacrosse, is really what it is here. We've seen several teams have some high profile wins so far this year, both Lynchburg College and Washington Lee beating two-time national champion Salisbury University. Hampton-Sydney going up and playing at Ohio Wesleyan and beating Ohio Wesleyan, which has become a perennial NCAA team. So really some good things to show far early in the season here. And we focus on that Lynchburg College squad, as you mentioned, ranked number three in the country in the latest USILA poll. They've had three high-profile wins, starting the season off with a nail-biter, getting a game-winning goal from Vin Curran to beat Salisbury 13-12. Then coming up with a 6-4 win over F&M, where they were down at the half and then came back with four straight in the second half to really punch it through for them. And then coming up against the Cabrini squad that was also ranked in the top 10 at that time, beating them 11-9 on a very hotly contested first half, where there were 16 goals scored in the first half and then just four goals scored total in the second half. So really three different ways that they won. And we had an opportunity to talk with Josh Davey, one of the captains for Lynchburg College men's lacrosse, and we talked to him about that, about the different ways the team has won, but also about some of the motivations that the squad has this year, especially coming off of last season, the way it ended, obviously getting an ODAC championship on a positive note and going to the NCAA tournament, another positive. But then in the NCAA tournament, they hosted a second-round game after getting a bye and played against Denison and went up by one goal early, and that unfortunately was the only lead they experienced in the game as Denison came back and Lynchburg just couldn't find its feet after that. So really talk to Josh about the team's outlook this year, what they're looking forward to do, and if they can continue the early success that they've had. So let's listen to what Josh had to say. Joined by Josh Davies, a senior attacker for the Lynchburg College men's lacrosse team, and the Hornets have started 3-0 on the season with three pretty high-profile wins so far this year. They're number three in the country in the latest USILA poll. And Josh, just give us your initial impressions on what the team's perspective was coming into the season and through these first three games, which you knew were going to be a bit of a tough gauntlet. What's the team's outlook right now?
We're pretty positive. We knew, we like to play in Salisbury first game every year. We want that challenge. We like to evaluate ourselves early. Guys put a lot of work in the offseason. That was a big thing for us. Weight room numbers were better than ever. Our mile times when we came into the fall were the best they've ever been in my 4 years here. And, everyone's pretty committed, more committed than I've ever seen one of these Lynchburg teams. So everyone's, we're ready to go, and we're ready to just take on the next team.
Josh, you guys have had quite a run to start the season with those three victories. And I guess talk about your mindset going into the Salisbury game, kind of knowing the significance of playing an opponent like that and obviously the result that you ended up with. What's the feeling of the team coming out of that game? And then, of course, playing two very formidable and traditional opponents in F&M and Cabrini.
Every game is a big game for us, because it's the next one. But, going to the Salisbury game, it's a big game. We hadn't beaten them in 10 years, so, there's a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. But like I said earlier, we've been working on all stuff, focusing on Lynchburg lacrosse, not so much on, what Salisbury or any other team is doing, worried about us. And, we ran our stuff. The last play of the game, Vin Curran, he practices that shot 3 days a week when we're not practicing, so... everything that we do in practice correlates to the games. We worry about us. We worry about what we're doing. And, we made the plays we needed to win that game. And, we were pretty happy about it. But, we expected to win. There's no, we expect to win every game. So, we weren't going to celebrate and, do anything crazy. So, we expected to win. And, that's what we did.
If we look at the three victories and kind of break them apart a little bit here, the Hornets have won in three different ways. With Salisbury, it was getting up by three early. They start chipping away at you, and you're even after three periods, and then you get a game winner. Against F&M, it's being down at the half and then coming back with a big scoring run in the second half and only allowing one goal in the second half. And then it's Cabrini. It's getting up big and running that cushion all the way through the end where there's only four goals scored total in the second half. What do you think it means for you and the prospects for the rest of the season that the team has shown the versatility to win in so many different fashions so far just through three games?
I think it just shows that we have a lot of different players who can do different things. We need to just find the balance amongst our team. The first game was more of an offensive showing. The second game, our defense stood up, only letting in four goals. Cabrini was kind of more of that balance attack we were looking for. We had some runs. It's a game of runs. So we had some runs. They had some runs. So it's just finding that balance, between the offense and defense. And once that comes together, we certainly haven't played our best lacrosse yet. So once that all comes together, we're expecting even greater things to come.
Well, Josh, you've got a family tie to the defensive side of the Hornets and your brother Adam Davey at goalie. Talk a little bit about his progress as a sophomore.
It's interesting for him. We've had over the past 8 years, we've had two people play goalie, and Garrett Kern for 4 years, and then Frank Cook, and Adam come in as a sophomore. It's been awesome being able to play with him. I played with him for 2 years in high school, and then he transferred, and when I came to college, and we're as close as we could possibly be. We're best friends, and it's pretty awesome seeing him progress from high school into now. He works harder as hard as anyone on the team. It's pretty cool during the summers being able to just shoot on him. I don't score as much as I would like to, but he works hard and he wants to win. He watches film. I don't know a better competitor than him. So he puts in the work and practice and in the off season, and it's paying off for him right now.
Josh, we need to talk about it a little bit here. Is last season, the way the season ended with an NCAA game against Denison, you go up one goal early, and then it just seems to the wheels fell off a little bit. You couldn't really find that rhythm you were talking about. It's a game of runs, and you couldn't find that run. Talk a little bit about the motivation or the feeling after that game that carried you through the off season, that carried the team through the off season, and if that had any effect on your mindset coming into this year and where you want to get to by the end of the year.
I think it definitely gave us a little bit of a motivation. You know, we got that was our first ODAC championship for me in my class, and getting that taste of so much of the success you had last year ended up leaving a bitter taste in our mouth. So once we had a taste of that success, we wanted more and more. And we had that huge senior class last year, and they left a great attitude, a great mentality for this team. And myself and the rest of the seniors have kind of picked it up and kept the ball rolling with it. So it definitely had given us some motivation into this year. We obviously were pretty bummed out after that game. We didn't play to our best ability, but with the new season and it's a new team with new players, so. We're just ready to go.
Josh, you talked a little bit about certainly winning the conference championship last year, and maybe your perspective and the team's perspective as you, in the next couple of weeks here, get into the ODAC regular season and conference race. Talk about the conference from your perspective and maybe a couple of the teams that stand out to you going into conference play.
We respect every ODAC team. Every team is good. Obviously, WNL's had some early successes this year. Roanoke's obviously our big rival. But, like I said earlier, we're focusing on Lynchburg and lacrosse. We're focusing on the 51 guys. We got 5 coaches, athletic trainers, worried about what we're doing. We're taking it one game at a time. And, we look out for the scores and all this stuff, but that stuff doesn't really matter to us. We're focusing on us. And we control what we control, and we play the way we can play. There's no reason why we shouldn't be where we want to be at the end of the season.
I would think that based on your responses and how focused you guys are, a lot of that comes from Coach Kadelka's leadership. Talk about playing for Coach Kadelka and your experience at Lynchburg up to this point.
Coach is a great guy. He's very old school. He's not one to really care about, the cool stuff that we're wearing or, all this stuff. He's the kind of guy who wants to run out to the practice fields when it's 20 degrees and raining outside. And, he's a great leader, and he expects a lot out of us. And some of that, we expect a lot out of ourselves. So, it goes with the same new 3 coaches we have this year as well. He expects a lot of us. Like I said, we expect a lot of ourselves. So he pushes us to the things we can do and puts us in situations where we can excel as players and as a team.
Well, Josh, we thank you for joining us today and look forward to hopefully continued success for the Hornets as we watch the remainder of the non-conference season and get into the conference schedule here leading up to the championship in the beginning of May. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Well, JJ, again, no surprise based on Josh's comments and the approach that they're taking as a Lynchburg College squad, knowing Coach Kadelka, having talked to Coach Kadelka. Not only is he old school, he also is under the impression over his course of a number of years of coaching of scheduling in a very difficult manner as well. So he has put them up against formidable competition at the beginning of the year. They've got a trip to play Gettysburg upcoming. They also have a Stevenson squad mixed into their ODAC matchup. So regardless of what happens during the regular season and throughout the ODAC schedule, they're certainly going to play the best there is in Division III lacrosse in preparation, hopefully, for a run at the conference championship as well as an opportunity in the NCAA tournament, as others will as well. And we'll follow lacrosse certainly as we go throughout the spring.
You mentioned coaches, and obviously Coach Kadelka is one of the strong coaches in the league. We also have some news that happened last week out of Hampton, Sydney, is head coach Ray Rostand got his 300th victory over there. Congratulations to Coach Rostand. I know that got a lot of pub from the Hampton, Sydney faithful and really the men's lacrosse faithful from around the region, so it's an outstanding accomplishment for him, as we have some outstanding head coaches in the league, Coach Kadelka and Coach Rostand, just two of the group that we have in the conference that really have their programs going forward. And when you talk about coaching, it's one of those items that we're lucky that the majority of the programs here in the conference, you talk to a lot of the schools around, that they believe they have the right people in their positions for coaching. And I think that includes most of the spring sports here. As you look at softball, as we've got a lot of fine coaches on the softball side, as that's the next sport we're going to focus on here today, is as we've got teams up there that are really having a good early showing so far. All but one team having posted a victory here in early season play. and all but two of them with at least 500 records throughout their early tournament or early non-conference action.
Well, you look at the teams that are on spring break and having a chance to kind of play some of these games. I look at a Randolph squad that's played 14 games up to this point and a very impressive 11-3 record. You know, it's great for the southern teams to have a chance to kind of catch some of the northern teams as they get going, playing in tournaments in Myrtle Beach and in Virginia Beach and other areas to the south, as well as a Roanoke College squad that has had a chance to play in the NCAA Championship Series last year. Had a great run last year. Everybody expects them to kind of do the same this year as they mature again as a team. And currently, having played 12 games, they're 9-3. And with, you know, a couple losses to an Emory squad that traditionally is a very strong team come NCAA tournament time. And they've lost to Emory twice, 9-1 and 8-0. So they're going to have to make some progress if they want to advance through the South region, depending upon what pod they might be in, to face an Emory squad. And then playing an Aurora squad in Florida most recently, actually yesterday, and losing to Aurora, who's from Illinois, by a 5-1 margin. So, you know, again, still early, a lot to go through. Of course, a ton of softball games that will be played. They can play as many as 40 games throughout the year, and all of them doubleheaders. So we're going to get into the conference schedule here in the next couple days, and one of those teams that Roanoke will face is another team that's at the top in Guilford College.
Yeah, I think when you talk to the coaches in the league about softball, it's another one of those sports that is exceedingly competitive with each other. More than one coach says, go ahead and flip a coin and you can change around a number of the teams that you put inside the preseason polls that we do, from what Virginia Wesleyan College has done over the past few years under Brandon Elliott to the great play that you get from Bridgewater College under Donnie Falk to what we're seeing right now under Caroline Cubbage at Randolph, sitting there at 11-3, and then what's happened with Roanoke College under Mike Mitchell, where last year they take 10 players to the National Championship Series and really riding some players and getting lucky at times. Obviously, every team gets nicked up, but you get lucky that you don't have that major injury where somebody has to be out and can't play. So they didn't lose any of their major pieces and saw some of their youngsters really come of age. And you think of Kelly Higbee, the pitcher who threw so many more innings than any other arm in the conference last year and really just helped will her team through that NCAA play, going to the pot at CNU and beating a good CNU team twice. Coming through that, I believe it was a back-to-back that they had to beat them, and that's a team that we had seen in a National Championship Series just, I believe, a year before that under head coach Keith Parr, really doing some nice things out there with that program, as he's done traditionally out there at CNU. So that was a good move for them to get through that to that regional pod, and I think a lot of people around would have been like, you know what, that's a great accomplishment for this group right now, having only 10 players, but then they continued it at the national level, or the further national level, coming to the National Championship Series and posting a pair of wins before eventually bowing out to the national runner-up in Linfield College with head coach Jackson Vaughn running that program. So it really was a good showing for them, but it just goes to show, those were only four of the programs we talked about right there, but you mentioned Guilford, Randolph, Macon, Shenandoah coming into the league in the middle of the conference if you're following the preseason poll. Some outstanding squads here to look forward to. Lynchburg, you can't count them out for what Don Simmons does over there with the Hornets. So there's a lot of teams here. They're going to have a lot to say about what happens with the softball standings here before we even get close to talking about the tournament in Salem at the end of April.
And I would say the same holds true for women's lacrosse as well, and a lot of competitive games in women's lacrosse. A lot of people chasing the Washington and Lee squad, though. Certainly no secret of the success that Washington and Lee has had in the league. Of course, last year playing a Roanoke squad in the final and really handily winning the conference championship. So there are a lot of people actually chasing Washington and Lee in women's lacrosse. But when you start looking at some of the results, you know, we've gotten some good opening games under our belt from our squads. We've got a Randolph-Macon squad currently at 3-0. We've got a Guilford squad at 3-1 in their non-conference play. And you also have a Sweetbriar squad that is 3-1, started the season with two victories, one over Ferrum, one over Dallas, and then lost to Randolph-Macon in a close game, 16-14, and then came back and bounced back with a victory over Methodist last weekend. So, you know, a lot of good things going on there as well. So, you know, still a lot left to be played, but we'll continue to watch women's lacrosse throughout the spring as well is tennis and golf and baseball and all the other sports that we have going on right now.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I'm kind of interested to see the Sweetbriar team play a little bit, seeing that result come out of the Randolph-Macon game and knowing that Randolph-Macon has continued to improve under head coach Caitlin Moore, and now with the Sweetbriar squad under second-year head coach Ebony Preston really trying to push their way forward and move up the ranks in the conference is a good thing for the Vixens and their athletic program and their athletic profile overall. But you are correct, and we're seeing teams still have to chase Washington Lee, although WNL did lose one of its high-profile games, 13-5, to Franklin and Marshall. So the Generals definitely have some work to do to get to the levels that they want to be at, and they're the standard right now for the conference is trying to approach them. You know, Roanoke College has a lot of firepower under head coach Mary Swartz, looking to make that jump up there. But their early season results haven't seen them really put that out yet. But, again, it's only two games in for them, so there's still a lot to be played here, a lot to be said. And what we're seeing right now come the end of the season could be completely different than what we're talking about at this point right now.
And when you go to baseball, you know, the same thing would hold true. You know, we have two teams right now that we just start in conference play that are undefeated, 2-0. With a doubleheader under each one of their belts in Bridgewater and Washington and Lee, and a Shenandoah squad that's nationally ranked coming in. Of course, this is their first year playing in the ODAX, currently 1-1, having split a doubleheader with Roanoke College last weekend.
Just like with softball, baseball is one of the sports here that you can really toss a coin in the air and see which way it's going to land. For some of the teams here in the conference, we've seen an emergence over the last couple of years of Emory and Henry really making a step up last year, and hoping that head coach Trey McCall can keep that program on the upward trend. You mentioned Shenandoah coming in, which undoubtedly improves the competition within the league, and some would say, you know, one of the conversation points coming into the year is that they're going to take one of the six spots within the tournament. So one of the teams that we've seen over traditionally the past few years being in that tournament could fall out. You know, we saw a Guilford squad make the tournament for the first time in several years. There's some nice things to see here with baseball. And, you know, the Roanoke College squad there are a couple new coaches in the conference, and Roanoke College being one of those, and they have a win that kind of opens your eyes in there. As we've talked about Shenandoah being a nice squad coming in, and we know that they are with their national profile over the past couple of years, but the Maroons have an 18-9 victory over the Hornets in there on March 3rd, and in the first of a two-game set between the two squads. So it really goes to show there's nothing that you can set in stone when it comes to baseball, just like there is for many of our sports in the conference.
Yeah, it's a really competitive sport, obviously, in this area of Division III. Year in and year out, we've butted heads with the USA South opponents. You know, one year they'll beat us more out of conference. One year we may prevail in that battle. But the one thing holds true: if you're playing those teams like Methodist, you're playing those teams like Ferrum and Averett, you know, they are strong baseball squads. A North Carolina Wesleyan squad that a number of years ago won a national championship when it was in Salem. And that's been a long time ago, but I actually remember it. You know, that's really what we need, and that's really what's made us better, I think, as a conference, is that, you know, we have gone out and scheduled those tough non-conference games. And, of course, some of these at the beginning of the year, you know, you're just getting your pitching arms ready to go. You're just trying to work on, you know, how many innings they're throwing, try to build up their endurance a little bit. You know, guys have been hitting inside more than they've been hitting outside. So it's going to take a couple weeks to kind of find a groove. And fortunately for us, even though we play a lot of games within the conference, you know, we didn't start conference play until that first week in March. And, of course, with snow on the ground, some places a lot of snow on the ground right now, it's going to be a number of days before they're going to have an opportunity to get back outside and play.
Well, next week we hope that the weather continues to improve so that more of our teams can get out there on a more regular basis. We'll continue to focus on the spring sports here, bringing in men's and women's tennis action, talking a little men's and women's golf, and maybe some outdoor track and field that began actually this past weekend and will continue in earnest here this coming weekend, as we also will keep you updated on what happens with the two squads still left in the men's basketball tournament also. So for Brad Banks, and this is JJ Nekoloff, we'll talk to you next time on the ODAC Podcast.